I'm just going to sit down and share some thoughts with you. It's been a very disgusting week for me because of how I felt, and I just detest that. And the weather annoyed me no end, because when you're feeling that way, part of it was laryngitis, part of it was congestion. One day I coughed till I almost coughed my head off. Next day I had so many pains just because of the coughing. It's just been up, down, up, down, up, down, and it's been very annoying not to snap out of it and come back. And I had so many things I wanted to share with you. By the way, isn't that a beautiful Rear Dass decoration again? We have an advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. It reminded me of the text that we dwelt on where he said he would send us the comforter, he would send us the deliverer, he would send us the one who would lead us in truth. There are several names for God the Holy Spirit. He is the third person in the Holy Trinity, and I've always had a liking for the Holy Spirit, not above the Father or the Son, but certainly with the Father and the Son. He is to be worshipped as one God, not separate elements. He is three persons, but one God. And one of my professors, Professor Wunderlich, I had at the seminary, as well as also in my first several college years before the seminary, he was also one of the professors there. And he wrote a book so apropos called The Half-Known God, meaning we know the Father so well, we know the Son so well as Jesus our Savior, but not nearly as well do we know the Holy Spirit. And he called him the half-known God. We need to remedy that in our lives. That's been one of my goals all throughout my ministry, to give the Holy Spirit the proper emphasis, not over the Father or the Son, but certainly with the Father and the Son. And unfortunately, I'm of the opinion that many people, when they pray, pray only to the Father or to Jesus the Son, and very seldom, I'm of the opinion, very seldom do they pray to the Holy Spirit, which is horrendous. That's terrible. And I remember just recently when we were reminding ourselves of that, we were talking about obedience, and how that is not something we can do by our own. You cannot be obedient to God unless the Holy Spirit is in you. He empowers us. He gives us the ability to be obedient. It's the same way with conversion. You can't be converted and brought into the kingdom of God unless the Holy Spirit is in you. That's called conversion. And tomorrow, the kids are confirming their faith. You cannot confirm your faith. You cannot say, I still believe this, or I still declare this to be my belief. You can't say that without the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the one agonizing, annoying thing to me, I know that I'll go to my grave with several things that I'm just born to have in my life till the day I die. I know that. I've settled with that before God. I know it'll be the case. One is, I can hardly stand to be in the presence of an ultra-pious Christian who does not give. Those people drive me totally nuts. I have seen the hand of God in terms of giving and in terms of multiplying his goodness upon those who sacrificially give, that it makes me mad, it irritates me. Nothing irritates me more, maybe one thing, and that's people who lie. I can't stand people who lie, and both my kids know this. I told them, you can do anything to your dad you want to throughout your entire life, but do not lie to me, not once even. I can't take that. And getting back to giving, It is so frustrating because you know what God can do and will do to people who trust him and begin to give sacrificially. Why, in God's name, why can't more of his people understand that? What we could accomplish in Christ's name around the world is, it's overwhelming. But people, if there's anything they're going to get offended about, it's giving. Well, that'll frustrate me till the day I die. And the other thing that frustrates me is how the heresy, how the false teaching in the Lutheran Church came about, had to be started by pastors, in my opinion, had to be, that there is such a thing as an inactive Christian. What a heresy. What a false teaching. There are people who miss church assuming that's no problem. They do not read God's word. They are not committed. Why am I bringing this up again? Pentecost, the work of the Holy Spirit, is done one way. If you do not follow that way, the Holy Spirit is not working on you. It's that simple. There's one way God has prepared for man to get nourishment in his body. There's a hole in the center of your face where you shove food. And that food is what gives you energy physically. Spiritually, God has one way of sending his Holy Spirit into your life, and that's his word. If you do not read his word, if you do not meditate on his word, if you're not prayerfully in his word, if you do not hear his word on Sundays and other worship services, if you do not receive the sacrament, which is the visible word, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and remember your baptism, the sacraments, you cannot have the Holy Spirit. How then do you explain so many Christians are weak and anemic, uncommitted, unloyal, unfaithful, because the Holy Spirit is not abounding them. The Holy Spirit is not filling them. The Holy Spirit has not come as it came on Pentecost. It would be beautiful if today, just like at the time of Christ, there were little tongues of fire. Maybe they'd be a half inch tall, maybe some would be a foot tall, maybe some would be 2 inches tall. If we could kind of see how full of the Holy Spirit we are, we could kind of say, hey, you're getting low. Are you reading your Bible lately? What's happening? Why isn't the Holy Spirit stronger in you? Tomorrow we confirm the faith of the kids that were baptized, brought to the Lord, the Holy Spirit entered their little tiny bodies as babies, most of them, and has been working in them and nourishing them all the way up through these years now till 8th grade. Some of them will fall away from the Lord by the time they graduate from high school. It happens all the time, all the time. Because their parents don't worship, their parents aren't committed, and they hang out with people that get them on the wrong track, and before long, they lose their faith. You can lose your faith. It's very possible and very, very easy. I know I've told you this repeatedly over the years that I've been with you. I think my faith is strong. I'm not trying to boast. God knows that. But I think my faith is strong. I know my Lord pretty well, and I walk with him. And I can tell you, I know my mind, I know my personality. I know the world in which I'm living. It wouldn't take me over 6 months. If I missed church for 6 months, I would be an unbeliever. No question in my mind. I know how my mind works. I know how I work. I know how the world works. So if I fear the danger of losing my faith because of negligence or stupidity or carelessness or worldliness, how long do you think I would, do you suppose how long it might take you to lose your faith? Come on. Come on, get serious with me here. The Holy Spirit is the only thing that can keep us in Christ and in the Father, in God. And he comes only through the Word. That's why we need the Word. We need to read the Word, study the Word. We need Bible class. We need devotions. We need to be in prayer. And that Holy Spirit nourishes us, strengthens us. That's how a person becomes stronger and stronger and more committed, more in a desire to serve the Lord. One of the greatest things that's happening in the next weeks with these 14 people in Haiti is that the Holy Spirit is in them. They worship every day. Pastor Doug has little devotions. They have little prayer times. They go to visit with people in the hospitals and those that are sick and so on. I just happened last night to see a video on Haiti on TV where all of the people had arms and legs that had been blown off in the hurricanes and in the disasters and in the earthquakes. And they had crews there, just like our crew of 14, trying to minister to those people, and showed some teenagers whose faith was growing a mile a minute because they were ministering to these little boys and girls who had no arms and legs. And they knew, they could see the Spirit of God in those kids as they prayed and as they talked about Jesus. It's going to be a great blessing to our 14 people to be down there, and it'll be a blessing to the people of Haiti to see their faith and to see their energy. We need to keep praying for them. That's about all I'm going to say tonight. Somehow the Holy Spirit has to enter into us in a way that says, I'm through being mediocre for God. I'm just through with it. I intend to grow, and I intend to do that through what the Holy Spirit uses, his word. I need in this next year to get to know God's word better. Somehow, God, get me into a discipline that I can grow spiritually so that in every day of my life I will become more mature to serve you. If the Christian church were to do this, we would have such a renaissance and such a... They used to have them even in the 1700s, even in the 1600s. They used to have revivals in America. There were revivals in the United States of America. Today, we've got one of the sickest Christian Lutheran churches in the world. America is not on fire. I'd like to believe our Shepherd Lutheran Church has a little flame going. I know that. I believe that, and I thank God for that. But even here, there's so much room. We do not have a revival in America. We do not have revival preachers. Africa is beating America when it comes to the percentage of Christians that are serving the Lord. Africa. I can't shake the feeling that God is totally displeased with America. There have to be churches that he's thrilled with. I think he's thrilled with our shepherd. I truly do. I truly do, and I praise God. God has enabled us the last 2 weeks. We went over 100,000 in our special offering. If I could sing, I'd lead you in a doxology. Start one, somebody. Praise God from whom. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Thank you. You know, I should look around real quick to see if those two ladies are here. There's two ladies that are related to each other. I don't think they're here tonight, but it saddens me. About a year ago, they left the church. I asked them why they left the church. You said Sunday morning that anybody who doesn't support the word today is not truly your friend. I said, that's true. I do believe that. I believe that anyone wants to say, you know, I kind of know Paul Schrader. He's kind of my friend, and I like him as a pastor, and, you know, we get along okay. Let's not say great friends, but he's okay. I said, I know in my heart how I preached and taught and tried to get people to understand giving because of their blessing, what God wants to do in their life. And I said, I have to tell you, yes, that you heard me right. I don't think anyone should call themselves a friend of Paul Schrader if, after his preaching and teaching, they say, but I just don't feel like supporting the word today. Can't be personal. Nobody makes a dime off of the word today. Nobody. And for someone to say, I simply can't give to the word today, that's beyond my mental ability to grasp. And if you thought that's what I said, that is what I said. Well, 3 weeks later, they phoned and said, we'd like to come back to our shepherd. And I said, well, at least you know you're hearing the truth at our shepherd, and you'll hear it the way it is. Yes, and we realize that's important to us. And you didn't say how much we had to give, or if we're unable to give, you've never told anybody that their dime or their quarter isn't important to God. And I said, that's the truth. If you cannot do it, God knows that, and you can't. We had one lady standing in the doorway there after church Sunday morning in tears. She said, I am so humbled. I just don't know what to say. You said there's 118 people that gave to this offering, this special offering. And my husband and I, we cannot give. We cannot give. My husband's salary, which was pretty average a year ago, is now half that. We're living on half our salary. And she was weeping. I said, good grief, woman. Don't be upset. God knows that. God doesn't expect you to give when he's not giving to you. How many thousands of sermons do you have to preach before that sinks in? You don't have to explain that to anyone. When you don't have it, God doesn't expect you to give. Period. Trying to comfort, it seems like the devil just tries to screw anything up that you want to glorify his name. I thought I was going to preach for about 3 minutes tonight because I felt my voice would give out. Well, it's time to close. Let's pray with me. Heavenly Father, why is it so often that people who cannot give are bothered by the devil and are fearful and angry and disgusted over the subject of giving. Why is that? May your Holy Spirit be the one that works in the hearts of the believers and comfort them when you have not blessed them. Let them think it through seriously. You've probably blessed them in other ways, maybe with health, maybe with joy. Oh, what a blessing joy is. Oh. If you have happiness, you've got something far greater than money. Far greater. Continue to bless your people, Lord. Be with our missionaries over in Haiti. Be with America. Is it possible that America can repent? I really don't know the answer to that, God. I don't know, because I don't think they're inviting in your Holy Spirit. I know they will not repent without your Holy Spirit. I know that. They can't. There's no power to repent. So if America does not return to God in some meaningful way, there will be no revival. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, God. You love the people in Africa every bit as much, and your son died for them every bit as much. And if they're responding to you, believe me, God, I understand that. Believe me, I understand why you would bless them. Believe me, if I were God, I'd bless those who trusted me and believed in me too. You better believe I would. And if we continue down the path of destruction, which America, I believe, certainly is on. We are so self-righteous. We are so proud. We are so ungodly. Man. God made the illustration that some of the people that you had blessed turned against you, and God said it would be worse for them than Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were terrible. There's no doubt about it. But they didn't have much opportunity. You didn't go to visit those two cities. You didn't show your miracles there. And yet the people you showed yourself and preached to, they were ungodly toward you and fell away. There's now an entire unit of believers in our country that deny your son Jesus as their Savior. How must you feel toward America? And the Christian church that is here is so anemic. When I think of how the Christians in China gave, when I saw the poverty, when I was in India, I saw the poverty of these people. And when they come to church, what they give is unbelievable. In American currency, it's thousands of dollars with their pittances, their total lack of wealth, and yet they praise you and bless you. No wonder you're blessing them. Now, what's going to happen in Japan? Japan is totally they're not into voodoo like Haiti, but everyone wonders what's wrong with Haiti. There's one thing wrong, voodoo, 100% voodoo. False spirits, false gods. That's the way Japan is. Have you opened and softened their hearts with the earthquake and the tsunami? I don't know what you have in mind or what you plan, but please bless the broadcasts as they begin and let many people come to Christ. I'm going to have to stop tonight, God. I'm going to have to stop. Amen. Amen.